So they each are going to do a 20-minute session, and I encourage you to use the chat box for your questions, and you can direct it to one person. So you can direct it to Debbie or Lorraine or Marion and Dorothy, or you can direct it to all, and they'll do their presentations, and then we'll have the Q&A at the end. So we'll now turn it over to Debbie, who will do the first session.
As Debbie's loading her screen, I just wanted to let people know that we are recording the sessions and they will be posted with permission on the CINEA website in the members only area. So if you are having to leave or you know CINEA members who would be interested, just let them know that that's available.
Okay, can everyone see my screen? Excellent, thank you. All right, I gotta time myself. You know, I did a lot of slides. I just felt like I had so much to say. Because it's so exciting, right? Some of the informatics work that's happening, it's just really great. So I'm going to talk a bit about our Connect Care initiative, which is the EHR project that we are implementing across Alberta. Look at governance, design, and optimization of nursing documentation standards. So I think I need to use my mouse. Hold on. Okay. That'll just go up. Okay. So the scope of our provincial EHR initiative is across Alberta. We have 106 acute care facilities, 36,000 beds, plus beds. It's in public health. It's in our cancer facilities, mental health, urgent care. It's everywhere. It's in our primary cares. It's quite large. It includes all providers and disciplines, so physicians, nurses, and allied health. Our timeline is a five-year timeline. We're going to squish all of that in from fall of 2019 to fall of 2023. Those dates cannot change. So if we kind of miss an implementation or a launch, we still have to meet those timelines. We had 2 years of planning prior to this. And so a lot of work has gone into this, the last 2 years and then the next 5 years. So it's quite an exciting and busy time in Alberta for this. Want to talk a bit about, we framed nursing standards within what's called clinical content in our electronic health record. And really our whole mantra is around how do we build good clinical content to enable providers to make the right decisions at the point of care. And so this is a paradigm shift for us because it's not really about just nursing standards anymore because we share standards now across providers in our electronic health record. Some of the documentation standards that we use physicians also use and vice versa. Some of the allied health standards are also used across. So it really is a bit of a collaborative care when we're talking about documentation standards now. And then also building in organizational initiatives is something that's new that we've done here is how do we build quality and safety into our nursing standards? How do we build a cred into the nursing standards? Choosing wisely and really start to focus on what our organization is doing and how does nursing help us achieve those goals. So that's just kind of an intro to that from our perspective. In addition, what we found, it's not just about the core nursing documentation, nursing documents all throughout the electronic health record. So we're looking at allergies. We're even documenting around PIAM and looking at where does SOGI standards fit in? Is it admitting? Is it in care? We do med rec, we are into orders. We're looking at data. So we really had to think about nursing is not just about the nursing process, if you like, of assessment, interventions, evaluation of our interventions. Nursing documentation occurs all through the electronic health records, so we needed to analyze that. And then I am going to talk a bit about this person management and the patient documentation at the end. So our goals for documentation were about reducing the burden and eliminating duplication, ensuring that we have evidence-informed best practice, which absolutely we've done a lot to try and find that. Adhering to professional and regulatory requirements. Interestingly enough, you'll find there wasn't a lot that Klarna had to contribute to what is appropriate for documentation. I mean, there's higher level things, but so you really had to dig deep to figure out if there was anything that, you know, impacted our documentation. Looking at decision support, there's such an opportunity here and it's so exciting around how do we provide decision supports in our documentation. And then there was the, you know, standard vocabularies, standardized tools, questionnaires, scales and scores. We have an actual program around this. Standardized core, I'm going to talk a bit about this because it's about core documentation standards that is used across your entire electronic health record by all disciplines. And then what you do is you layer on specialty standards. And so we'll look a bit. And then really how to support our collaborative care and our patient and family-centered care initiatives. We had a four-step approach. And it's funny because now that I look at this, we didn't know this approach when we first started. But now when you look back, you think, oh, wait a minute. If I'm going to put it into a framework, it's four pieces. So you create the foundation, you look at standardized processes, you scale it up, and then you mature. We're in the kind of the maturing phase right now. And I'll go through each one of these. So when you look at creating the foundation, you need to establish that really strong clinical governance for clinicians by clinicians, for patients by clinicians, for nurses, you know, has to look at how that nursing can contribute to the development of those standards that everyone's going to use. You need to have a tour, you know, you need your formal governance structures set up, your meeting frequency, all of that. But what we found is that we were, and I'll explain this, our nursing committee's been up and running now for about a year and a half, maybe even 2 years. And so that tour had to be revisited frequently. It wasn't one of those annual things where you kind of look at it and then put it away again. It was, do we need new members? How do we change this? Are we missing skill sets? Who do we include in our committee? And we were constantly thinking through, how do we keep growing our nursing informatics groups in the province? Document decisions, that's just so important, because honestly, you'll do something on Monday and you'll forget it by Friday because things are moving so fast. Develop your outcomes measurement strategy early on. That's a lesson learned from us that we're going back to and looking at this. And then make it fun. Have a committee brand and create that governance that nursing is going to get excited about. This was, I won't get into all of these committees, but the most important part here is we developed what was called our Nursing Content Standards Practice Work Group. It is tucked in alongside allied health and physicians, but then there's a core clinical documentation group that we developed who kind of helped make decisions for everybody. And then there's a whole bunch of other groups. As I mentioned in that one circular diagram, nursing has input into making decisions around all of this. This is where it gets really, really tricky. And you gotta figure out in your governance, how do we incorporate specialty documentation standards for nursing, and how do they dovetail and work together? So each one of these specialty groups had a little committee and they looked at their own documentation standards, but they had to align with the work that we were doing in the nursing group. So there was a lot of, again, reviewing your tours, figuring things out, and trying to understand how does this all knit together. But we made it work. We still have some bumps in the road, but we do find that nursing is in every one of these clinical specialties, both from maybe an inpatient and an ambulatory perspective, also a continuing care and a primary care. So it's birth to death, or, you know, cradle to grave type thing. And you got to think about what is the impacts of nursing documentation and what standards do we use across the continuum. So our nursing work group, it stands for Nursing Content Practice Standards Work Group. The first meeting was April 17th, 2018. We had approximately 50 nurses come together, including our RNs, our RPNs, our LPNs. We set a meeting time, and literally we did meet every Tuesday for 2 hours in the first 2 years. And we still do meet. We've reduced it to an hour and a half. We had many partners that we collaborated with, our eSafety, our human factors, IT, professional associations were invited to the meetings, professional practice, and again, clinical content. And we had strong nursing leaderships at these meetings. So it was really helpful to have that. The role, I won't get into all of this, but again, you know, it's setting standards. It's looking at how those standards are designed into your EHR. It's acting as change agents, looking at issues and risk, prioritizing ongoing, understanding benefits. And this new one is, when an electronic health record impacts practice, how do we kind of work with that and the change management associated with that? The second little aspect of our process was standardizing. We had to have good guiding principles in our committees. We always had to, whenever you got into a disagreement, refer back to principles. We make core decisions. We then looked at how we built off core for specialty. And again, just looking at human factors is very important for nursing and in EHR workflows. Looking at how you incorporate safety, patient safety in our reporting learning incidents, and then respecting intellectual property. We actually have a program where any tool or questionnaire that we wanted to put into our electronic record had to go through the intellectual owner, the property owner, and we had to actually sign a contract with them. These were our guiding principles. We put these up time and time again. Put patients and family first is one that I really want to focus on, because that's one we emphasized. Is this might be right for nursing, but is it right for the bigger picture of documentation for everybody and for our patients? I won't get into all of these. You can look at these later. So scaling up, we had to move so fast. We had to align to the Connect Care project timelines, which were, as I said, 5 years. We had to implement. There was no time to waste. We consulted a lot, engaged a lot, and you have to listen. You solicit continuously because, again, we're bringing in so many different perspectives, and it had to be inclusive. And that's why we were constantly reviewing our tour also around, do we have to change and be nimble in our approach? So we're right now, we've launched full documentation at in Edmonton at our Walter McKenzie campus. We just went live in some of our urban sites on this Saturday. So we brought on 9 more hospitals. So really now we're into continuous improvement and maturing our approach. Learn by doing, we're humble, we just keep improving. But the nice things are is we can now take a step back, we can align to strategic direction, we can do some real innovative stuff, we can enhance decision supports, and then we can start to focus on data. And that's something that we didn't do right up front and get a good strategy in place, but now we're thinking through, how do your nurses use data for self-reflection and improvement of their practice? And then, so this is, I do have a few more slides. Let's take a peek here. Yeah, I've got a few more slides. I'll just run through it and then we'll end off. Sometimes it felt like we were pushing this massive, ball up a hill, or as I like to say, it was a noodle up a hill. But, at the end of the day, we all came together and we did what was needed to be done. So for admission, we standardized 12 to 13 different admission screenings across the continuum. We did look at differences where there was variance. So I'll give you an example, falls risk. There are some nuances. It's an interesting one. There are nuances around assessments for fall risk in different environments. So we did look at that. But for the most part, core, we standardized our screenings. We looked at discharge screening at the beginning and in admission, looking at what's needed for that patient when they leave. And then obviously this big new thing called COVID. We've built COVID straight into our system around symptom monitoring twice a day and also looking at identification. Physical assessment, all of our systems were standardized. We use a with defined limits approach. And so this is really good because this is where we're starting to reduce the burden. And we have a standard definition of what a defined limit is that was evidence informed and best practice. The example of that I'll give you is neuro, what we call WDL. We've standardized kind of some key points around what you would find within a systems assessment. And this is what the neuro looked like. A lot of meetings went into this. A lot of, how nurses love to wordsmith. We did get there though. And so again, moved that ball up the hill when we're bringing all those clinical specialties together to say, these are now our standards. And then we built this into our electronic health record. And if there's exceptions, you can document that. So we have a really good workflow associated with that. We did our ins and outs and vital signs. We did daily cares, evidence-informed care plans. And then we standardized nursing handover and we worked very closely with our accreditation people to use the iDRAW system. But what's really cool about this and looking at decision supports is we have built in early warning systems. So our use around predictive analytics for the deteriorating patient. So we have a number that comes up. We align that with nursing workflow. We have sepsis and ED, and we are looking at others. And so when we're starting to think about electronic health records and the decision supports, some of the screening tools we looked at, if we start to put in a falls predictive model, do you need to screen? So there's some really great, exciting opportunities out there. Patient teaching and discharge, lots of emphasis went through a collaborative care perspective on this. We have discharge checklists. We standardized patient teaching frames. We've linked that to My Health Alberta and our patient education handouts. And then these sorts of things can be printed and given to patients or put into the patient portal. So nursing has a key role in improving patient outcomes, which leads me here in that this is what's really great is nurses, patients are using health technology now and they're more involved in their care. The CIS houses the story. Nurses are documenting care goals and preferences and what matters to the patient. And then nurses can take that information, collate it and give it to the patient. And they can have conversations around next steps upon discharge or next steps in care planning. And we have the tools and the standardized information to do that. So it's just so exciting. Successes really quickly, it's evidence informed. We did reduce the burden, or if anything, we've reorganized the burden. We avoided duplication. It's less narrative. We move clinicians across our province. You know, we have 50,000 nurses who will be using this in the next 5 years. We moved them to standardized measures. We've reinforced patient safety, and then we've created a framework or at least a data repository so you can start to do a bunch of analytics. This, I think, is the last slide here. Rome wasn't built in a day, but we will build it in 7 years. And that's kind of what we're saying. We are going to have a really good setup in 7 years. We'll have, we're going to be really focusing on the next little while on our outcomes measurements. We have an opportunity to use terminologies to do national alignment of indicators. And we can give nurses data so they can evaluate their care. And then I think we do want to get back to what matters most to patient care and start to see how we can build decision supports in that. So the premises of the CHOBIC framework of all of those nursing sensitive indicators, how do we get nurses thinking about that? And then there is a hypothesis here that just turning on the system and having nurses do this standardized approach, we have actually improved outcomes. We haven't measured this. But we, you know, without training and without all those other things, just by turning it on, we think we've done a really good, we think we've improved outcomes for patients. And then that's just all of us in our committee and how we feel today. So I'll end that there. Thank you, everyone. I'll stop sharing.
Thanks, Debbie. If you could just send it to Lorraine now, that would be great. Excellent presentation. And my gosh, you've done a lot of work.
How do I send it to Lorraine? Sorry.
So Jody?
That's okay. I'm going to now share my screen.
Okay.
Oh, perfect.
You just had to unshare your screen, which you did, Debbie. So great. Thanks.
Great. Can everyone see that?
Yes, we can, Lorraine. Thanks.
Wonderful. So thanks so much for having me here today. And it's so nice to see some familiar faces and names on the screen. And it's been such an interesting year, this year of COVID. So it's nice even to connect with people over Zoom as well. So today I'm going to speak a little bit about our journey with integrating an essential data set into our documentation standards for nursing. So just a little bit of background and context for those that may not be familiar with our project CST that is underway here within our three organizations. And CST, Clinical and Systems Transformation, is a joint initiative between Vancouver Coastal Health, which is my organization, Provincial Health Services Authority, and then Providence Healthcare. And really, it's about three transformations. So very similar to what you heard from Debbie, it's around transforming processes, workflows, order sets, closed loop, and this electronic health system, but then also leveraging the power of that to improve the outcomes for our patients and clients and what our clinicians and providers are experiencing. So we are marching forward in our project. We now have over 11,000 active users. It was about 2.5 years ago that we went live with our first sites. which were Lions Gate Hospital and Squamish General Hospital. Our largest site went live to date, went live about a year ago, which was our Providence site, so St. Paul's Hospital and its affiliated sites as well. And we had some additional provincial health services sites go live this fall as well. So definitely lots of activity, and we have additional sites planned for 2021, which will likely be focused in the cancer realm. So it's pretty exciting to see this project sort of gain a lot of ground. And I think in reflecting in where we've come, I think a lot of experience, not only in the project, but within the three organizations in terms of very similar themes to what you heard Debbie speak to about understanding governance and how to make good decisions with three organizations coming together. That was a challenge that we had to figure out how to work together. Understanding about design and build and the implications of that for workflow and how that will impact our clinicians. So there's been a huge growth over those years since this project started. So, but what I want to do is take you back about 5 years and talk about where we were at that point. And that was really around design and build and looking at clinical standardization across three organizations. And for nursing, obviously, one of the key areas was around admission history and assessment and thinking about what was needed in that space. And recognizing that even within one organization, we had large variation, but then across three organizations, a lot of variation. And if you step back in terms of what was going on in the province and thought about the strategic priorities and the mandates from the ministry, I'm sure these will resonate with many of the same things that were happening in your areas. Concepts such as, you know, increasing access and flow, decreasing readmission, expanding primary care and community care, and thinking about that cross continuum journey of our patients. There were ideas from our ministry in terms of IMIT enablement, so access, quality data, timeliness of the data. And then we also had some specific mandates that were coming from the province, and one of them was 48.6. And if you're not familiar with 48.6, that was specific to the senior population and really looking at what are those key areas that should be assessed upon admission, six areas within 48 hours, and if any concerns were identified, that further assessment or care planning should be undertaken. So that kind of sets the context for our look around CHOBIC as well. And, you know, at the time we had really passionate chief nursing officers who really saw the value of having a core set of data elements that were evidence-based and really focused on patient outcomes as well. And having that, the ability to compare across our settings and recognize the value of then being able to use that data at multiple levels. So nurses being able to drive, use that data to drive better care and enhance their clinical decision-making. Also being able to use that data for better operational planning, and also at the systems level, knowing how we were performing. And those weren't easy conversations. And I think Peggy will remember being part of many of those conversations. So it took a lot of, I think, convincing that this was the right way to go. And I think particularly because there were multiple different ideas as well. And I call out the 48.6 because many of those same concepts were already being assessed in our organizations. But I think one of the challenges was that the questions were very variable in terms of what was happening in each of our care settings and our hospitals. And at the time, our marker of how those were success or not successful was really the number of care plans, so not patient outcome focused. So it was, you know, I think a testament to sort of the champion in our chief nursing officers that really saw this being endorsed by the three organizations. And the decision was at that time that we would focus on our admission process and saw discharge that eventually we would get there, but to focus on admission at the time. So I'm actually have a little video clip that I'm gonna show you what it looks like in our system right now. And then I'm gonna talk to you about where I think, you know, we have seen some success, and then I think where we need to refocus our efforts as well. So hopefully I'll play this and hopefully you'll be able to hear.
So here I have a patient that's just been admitted to Mount St. Joseph's. They've just been transferred from ED to inpatient. And here I see my admission tasks. One of my admission tasks is the admission discharge outcomes assessment. When I click that, it opens the appropriate documentation form. On here, we have four sections: ADL self-performance, symptoms, safety, therapeutic self-care. ADL self-performance is what's called an ultra grid, and it enables you to tick off different things in different columns. Alternately, if, for example, you needed to document an entire column all the same, for example, total dependents or independent, you can do that with one single click. The blue text provides support to clinicians who maybe have forgotten the definitions or have never done this type of assessment before. The next section down is about bladder continence. This is a single select. Clicking to the next section brings me to the symptom assessment parameters: pain, pain intensity, dyspnea, fatigue, and nausea, and these are all single select. The safety section has some information about severe pressure ulcers and faults. And therapeutic self-care has a series of questions that are rated 0 through 2, and each one has a not applicable or an unknown. So I'll click through a few of these so that you can see that they're documented. And when I click the green check mark to sign my documentation, the form closes and the task is removed. When I enter into the patient's chart, I can find my documentation in multiple ways. I can go into the documentation section in the table of contents and find all of my notes, and they'll be sorted by time. For example, I can review the entire documentation of my form, or reopen it to edit it if that need arises. Alternately, if I go into results review, I can see the field-based review of my documentation. So in here, I can see each field and their response and the time they were done. So if this is done in series, you can see the columns side by side. And you can expand the column to see the entire documentation if you need. Since this is all in discrete documentation, of course, it can be pulled into various reports, metrics, smart templates, and other outputs from the system as we need.
Great. So that was Lori Campbell, one of our informatics specialists in our project. So that is what it looks like in our system today. And it's been every site that goes live for our we'll see that. What does come up, obviously, because we have very diverse settings that goes live is sometimes in terms of populations and does it apply to every population? So those conversations we do have to have as we move forward. So I think obviously we would like to get to the point of implementing this at discharge, but I think before we get there, we have some work to do. And obviously we built this into our system about 5 years ago, but we really haven't had a chance to go back and optimize this process. And there's a few gaps in this. And I think one of the biggest pieces is really the point of collecting this data is what you do with this data and driving some clinical decision making and care planning for that nurse. And unfortunately, during our implementation thus far, our care planning is still on paper for the majority of the process. So that's a gap. And so our ability to really understand how nurses are using this information to then drive some decision-making, I'm not sure we're there yet. I think, and so what you could also see in that little demo is I think we have some opportunities there to also relook at streamlining the documentation and the workflow. At the time when we built this, we also went through a process of looking at the overall admission assessment power form. And there was a lot of content in that original form. We were building off model content. And so there was a lot of cleanup process done already. But I think there's further work that can be done in terms of integrating CHOBIC into that process as well. When we do turn our attention to discharge, again, that is another space that I think we require to do a bit more work on. Nurses right now, both in terms of their thinking, but also where they find information in our system that helps them integrate their assessment process for discharge needs to be streamlined. So that is our journey thus far with CHOBIC. It's something that I think for us, both in informatics and practice, we know it's an area that we'd like to do some further work in. And we hope to get there in the future. So I'm excited that we could share our journey thus far, and I look forward to questions during the question period. So I'm going to stop my screen share now, and I will turn it over to Marion.
Thanks so much, Lorraine. Just while we're shifting, it was really nice to see the video of how that was put into place. And I think you're where most people are, and like we do these implementations, but how do we shift, give information to nurses to shift their thinking around practice and outcomes? And I think Marion and Dorothy are going to give us a bit of that in their presentation. So I'll turn it over to them. And thanks so much, Lorraine.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, both Lynn and Peggy, for the opportunity to present. What we've been working on moving forward within Health DEI. I just have to move the video on my screen here so I can see what I'm doing. It's been very interesting to watch the previous two presentations, and especially yours, Lorraine, to see, because you use the Cerner system as well, how you've embedded the CHOBIC data set. And we'll show you just some screenshots today for others to see how we've done it. And so really this project was around integrating nursing sensitive patient outcomes into the electronic health record across our acute care system. So the objectives we'd like to cover today is just a quick review of what CHOBIC is for those who may not be familiar with it, We'll quickly review the pilot project that we worked on as part of the Canadian Foundation for Healthcare Improvements Extra Program. And we'll review how we progressed from that pilot project to integrate the CHOVIC data set into all acute care settings across our province, and demonstrate a little bit about what the information is that this data now provides to the individual units, the nurse managers, the unit staff, including how the CHOVIC assessment is supporting nurses to develop their care plans for their patients. We'll show you some of the audit data from a 3-month period after our provincial rollout, and talk about next steps and how we're going to sustain this change. So quickly, just for those who aren't familiar, the CHOVIC, or Canadian Health Outcomes for Better Information and Care, is a data set that introduces that systematic structured language for patient assessments and documentation. It's developed for use in the acute care, complex continuing care, long-term care, and home care settings. And just a note that as we've been doing this project, Health PEI has taken on the implementation of the Inter-I within our home care setting. The CHOVIC has 24 data elements that are defined and validated and measurable, and they're also linked to nursing interventions for patients, and that's why they're nurse-sensitive patient outcome measures. So some of the categories are around functional status, or the patient's ability to carry out their daily activities, symptom management for pain, nausea, fatigue, and dyspnea, and measuring the risks for safety measures around falls and pressure injuries, as well as the ability for the patient to care for themselves at discharge. And I'm speaking to it really from that acute care perspective, where these assessments are completed at admission and discharge. So last year, we presented our pilot project that we had completed through the extra program, or the executive training program, with CFHI. Prior to us taking on that project, Health PEI identified quality and patient safety issues related to patient outcomes and linking those with nursing documentation and nursing care. Specifically, we had incidents where patient outcome data related to nursing care was not being captured or measured in any standard way. Our care planning and evaluation of patient progress was not documented well or easily communicated among the healthcare team. And within acute care, this was being identified repeatedly as a problem. Our goal was to improve the patient care assessments and have nursing develop those patient care plans by identifying patient issues using the CHOVIC assessment on admission to hospital. The therapeutic self-care assessment as part of CHOVIC really identifies a lot of that team-based approach that nursing kind of takes the responsibility for that care coordination while in hospital. So we wanted those interventions identified and included. That was an important component to solving some of our issues, where this can happen throughout the patient's hospitalization and really prepare them for discharge and to have a successful discharge to home. So capturing this on admission as part of the patient care plan was an important part of our project as well. Just a couple of things to note that we had the benefit of. For those who don't know, Health PEI has one single standardized electronic health record for all our acute care sites. So what we implement at one translates to all of our sites. That can be a challenge or an opportunity. After our pilot project was completed through the extra program, we had implemented it on two specific units, and we'll give you a little bit of information about that later in the presentation. But once we completed the project and looked at the results, we communicated those to the health system, and we received support for integrating the CHOVIC data set provincially from Health PEI's acute care nursing leadership across the province, as well as our executive leadership team. We maintained our pilot project steering committee to continue our provincial integration. We had some specific questions as part of our pilot project results that needed to be reviewed, and these were related to how the CHOVIC assessment was built in our electronic clinical information system. The questions were whether or not CHOVIC assessment questions should be built as required fields, and whether nurses could move past them without documenting on them at admission. How should the assessment be integrated Should it remain built within the admission assessment, which is, I think, Lorraine, how you've demonstrated yours. It's integrated within, with the exception of the therapeutic self-care form, which actually looks very similar to ours. Or whether or not it should change and be its own separate form where nursing can view what the assessment was on admission and then document the discharge assessment as well. And the third was around the patient population. So implementing this across all acute care, should it be completed on all patient populations on admission and discharge? And the nursing staff at our two pilot project units really recommended what this should look like for the rest of the system. I'm going to pass it over to Dottie now to do some more of our presentation. So we're physically distant in the room, so I'm slide my laptop across the table. Hopefully no one gets dizzy.
We are appropriately physically distancing. So this slide, should we require CHOPIC documentation and how it should be integrated into the electronic system was the question we had for our project team and for nursing staff. So this is what our pilot project CHOPIC admission assessment looked like. The yellow sections indicate required fields, meaning you cannot leave or sign the form until you open and complete the required sections. And the CHOPIC assessment was built into the admission assessment form with the regular, as you can see on the left-hand side there, the respiratory assessment on the left. And if you scroll across, we had the CHOPIC respiratory assessment off to the right. If you were scrolling down in real time on the left, we would have the GI assessment. And then on the right, we had the CHOPIC nausea assessment. So nursing staff at both sites did not want to continue to have the required fields as was built originally, and they didn't want the CHOPIC assessment included side by side with the admission assessment documentation. I'm just talking to myself here. I need the mouse. See. Okie dokie. No, I'm going on a square, Marion. I need this one. Sorry. Excuse me. We're just playing with stuff here. Just ignore us. They requested we build a standalone form, and when the patient is admitted to hospital, a task to complete the form is fired to the nursing task list for completion, and we've done the same with this on discharge. Interestingly enough, when we did go out and deliver education on this to staff on the other units, they asked us why we didn't maintain the original build, because they preferred that option. This is what our present build looks like as a standalone form, CHOPIC assessment. The only required field on the document relates to the CHOPIC therapeutic self-care assessment. So if the patient has come to us or is going back to long-term care, the nurse checks off that box and then no therapeutic self-care opens up because it's not applicable if the person is either coming from or going back to long-term care. If they check off document assessment, the therapeutic self-care assessment opens up, and then it looks like this. You don't have the green on your side, Lorraine, but you have everything else. So this is a picture of the way we've built it into our system. And the therapeutic self-care questions, these are related to the person's ability to care for themselves at home, to identify if they have any deficits in knowledge, and identify any supports they may have or need at home or in the community. Along with the, so the admission assessment data is integrated also into our electronic care plan. This is what our patient care plan looks like at the moment. So when nursing staff complete the CHOPIC assessment on admission, any issues identified such as falls or pressure injuries in the safety assessment section or symptom management, fatigue, nausea, pain or dyspnea, these flow to this care plan form. And as you can see, the upper box there, the gray box, the information comes forward. Nurses then, so in this example, the patient obviously has some severe nausea, has some pain, has pressure related to a skin problem, and is experiencing some fatigue. Therefore, nursing needs to identify a plan to address these patient problems, determine interventions, and document outcomes. The ADL and so the activities of daily living questions and the therapeutic self-care assessment questions at this point in time is not pulling into this gray box of information because it was felt it would be too lengthy. However, as we continue to evaluate this going forward, this may or may not be pulled into the form. So we had a third question for the provincial implementation, and it was to consider whether or not all patient care populations within acute care should have CHOBIC completed at admission and discharge. So in referencing the national CHOBIC for acute care, it was used to assess medical surgical adult patients. We reviewed the project scope with the provincial acute care directors of nursing here to determine the appropriateness for our acute care patient groups. So we made a decision to exclude the pediatric population, the rehabilitation units, because rehab uses a functional independence or a FIM score already, and we voted to also exclude the obstetrical patients. We didn't include intensive care, emergency department admissions, and the psychiatric unit. And just as a little addendum, I did have a nursing student completing her accelerated nursing program here in the office with me who works as an LPN part-time on one of our psychiatric units. And she was quite vocal her first day in the office, saying she didn't understand why she saw no value in completing CHOBIC and actually looked on it as an extra task to complete. So I did ask her to bear with me and to actually work with us to complete the audit on her actual unit. And it was like a 360. She was really, really excited about the potential for CHOBIC for all patients, especially the information related to therapeutic self-care. And that's, of course, the knowledge of or the ability to take your medications as ordered, what, if any, supports in the community the psychiatric patient had, also measurement of their fatigue, maybe their ADLs. You know, people sometimes admitted with a psychiatric illness may be neglecting, you know, like bathing, they may not be eating properly, that kind of stuff. So she thought it was really, really useful. So we did exclude the rehabilitation, pediatric and obstetric units, but we did ask them to complete the CHOBIC assessment on all off-service patients admitted to their units. So one of our intensive care unit nursing leaders was skeptical about the benefits of this information collected for the ICU admitted patient, feeling that it would be more useful to complete after the transfer out of ICU to the medical unit for ongoing care. But they did agree to complete the assessment, and our office committed to completing an audit after 1 month, and then we were going to review the results with this unit. However, CHOBIC response has disrupted a review of the data to date. However, the compliance report does demonstrate that they are actually continuing to use it. Am I gone one too far? Here we go, sorry. Okay, so some challenges and opportunities we have seen throughout this implementation. Our off-service patients are a challenge when trying to capture the data. This is seen at our two larger hospitals, as we see off-service patients being admitted to an open bed, but then transferred to the appropriate service area and not being discharged from the original unit. So data on patients admitted to these units could potentially only capture the admission as discharges would be captured on the transfer unit. We're in the early stages and need to validate this reported data to ensure it's captured in a useful manner. We did develop education materials, we held trainer sessions, and we provided standardized education materials and speaking notes to each clinical educator across the province. And we had two students from the local university here with us, and they helped deliver education for us at our two central sites. And we did go live with CHOBIC on February 25th. Are we back to you yet, or is it me?
No.
Oh, no, keep going. Sorry. So we did have two reports built for our pilot project, and these have been expanded to include all acute care inpatient units across the province. The two pictures you're seeing are actually pictures of the staff at our two pilot sites. And if you look at the picture on the right there, you will see pie charts above the three nursing leaders there. And that is the way that nursing found most useful to actually interpret the data. So we do have a compliance report for September of this year. It's unvalidated at the moment. And it is showing at the moment that we have a compliance rate of 88 to 93% completion at our community facilities, and our two larger facilities, it ranges between 33 and 94%, and it all depends on the unit. So we also have the patient outcome measures report. As I said, it's above those three ladies' heads on the right there. And this is a unit-specific report demonstrating the difference in patient outcomes between admission and discharge. And the report that we have built captures data from March 25th to February 25th of this year. And we are, will be sharing this individual audit in the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to just go through a few slides with you now on some of the data that it's capturing. And this following slide, this is examples of the type and the level of data that we can be reported to each facility and can be drilled down to the unit level. And this is the next couple of slides is just one unit's data. So this slide is this is on a total admission of 304 patients, and the total number of discharges is 210. But with the admission and discharge, because in order to actually collect data related to demonstrate the difference, we have to complete this at admission and discharge. And we had that completed on 177 patients, which is 58% of the patients on this unit. So the nurse manager on the unit for those 3 months now has data on 58% of her population. This is slide shows the information related to the symptom management assessment. So this is a combination assessment of pain, fatigue, dyspnea, and nausea. So this slide shows that 85% of the admitted patients to this unit were admitted with one or more of these four symptoms, pain, fatigue, dyspnea, or nausea, and they require nursing interventions. It also demonstrates that 39% of the patients saw an improvement in their symptom management at discharge, and 22% of these patients to this unit saw a decline in their symptoms at discharge. Now, take into account that this is a surgical unit, so some increase in pain, etc., is to be expected. And then we can drill down further and pull out each of these individuals. So for pain, further symptom management detail can be provided. And this shows the pain for patients compared to admission and discharge. So this shows 75% of the admitted patients to this unit had pain on admission and required some sort of nursing intervention to help resolve or improve this problem. So, of course, we all hear about nursing workload. So from a nursing workload perspective, this data can be broken down to reflect the percentage of patients requiring nursing interventions on that unit. Remember, we've 24 different data elements here. So the therapeutic self-care, which is the one I'm showing you here, is all about discharging the patient with the appropriate knowledge and supports to care for themselves and to ensure support is available to them in the community if needed. So with this slide and this information, you can demonstrate the percentage of people that do not know what medications they're taking at home and therefore requiring nursing education or require education from nursing staff during their admission or providing that education to their family or partner in care. It also shows the percentage of people knowing why they're taking their medications, therefore requiring, again, nursing education and nursing intervention. Additionally, the percentage of patients not taking medications as ordered. This would require a conversation about why they're not able to take them as they're ordered. Maybe they're not able to get the pharmacy, they can't afford them, etc. So all this would also indicate a need for nursing to involve other professional services, such as the social worker. So as we've mentioned, and the data elements, these data elements can be used to inform the patient of their progress or can inform the unit staff and obviously the leadership on that unit as to something that requires improvement in general for their patient population, such as the improvement or regression between admission and discharge. We do expect a certain percentage of this, but it needs monitoring. We have no established benchmark as yet. Also, we can monitor over time the percentages of people coming in with an issue and leaving with that same issue. Now, we're not going to expect people that have chronic pain coming in, maybe a paraplegic or a person with a permanent indwelling catheter. You're not going to see those changes. So managers can focus on a specific patient outcome, one of these 24 if they need to initiate a unit-led quality improvement project. And if we, as the chief nursing office, can identify any provincial trends, we may look at this as from a systems perspective. And I'm going to hand you back to Miss Marion to
finish off. Thanks, Dottie. So we do, I'm the bookend on this presentation, but we're just looking at now what we're going to do next and sustaining this change. So as was mentioned by Lorraine, for sure, that we did do work as well, and we adapted some of the work that Island Health did on the essential clinical data set for admission documentation. And so that work has been partially completed, I'll say, after our initial review and cleaning up of our admission history and admission assessment documentation. What we've found for us is a win in that nursing is actually documenting more information on our admission history forms in particular, and taking them less time to do it and less clicks of the mouse. So that is very good. We haven't cleaned out maybe as many. I think there's another layer that could come off there, as many data elements as we could to really refine it. But we're quite happy with the success we've had so far with that. We are awaiting the validation of our compliance report. But according to the unvalidated report right now that we're looking at, the admission CHOBIC is completed 100% of the time on 22 of our 25 units across the system. But we're missing the information to compare it to when that's not being completed at the same level at discharge. So even though we have it built this way, it tells us we've identified some challenges staff are facing in completing the assessment at discharge. It may be related to nursing workflow issues at that time, and we need to talk about what solutions there could be with our steering committee, some frontline managers, and some staff from those units. We're in the stage now of releasing our 3-month audit to the acute care directors of nursing and their nurse managers of the units and staff, so that they can take some time to understand the information, determine whether we need to do some re-education on this, look at the workflow, look at the documentation and how we've built it and how it's working. We have not gone forward yet in auditing the use of the CHOBIC assessment data into the nursing care plan. So we have it built that way where it pulls it forward and it's there visible to the nursing staff when they're documenting the care plan. But we haven't gone in and done any auditing of, are they actually using those issues that are identified through the CHOBIC admission assessment and putting those into their care plan. So that's more work that we need to really get at this point. We'd like to do some surveying of staff and managers around what's working well and what needs improvement at this point to identify their satisfaction with the changes that have happened. We have some other improvements being made to our clinical information system across acute care with the operations team here in across Health BEI to bring in some of those other functions that are available in the Cerner system that we haven't adopted yet. So we do need to work alongside that team with those changes that are happening as we add these improvements and sort of look at how we can better improve that system and change the way nurses are using the system to their benefit of communicating and documenting patient care. So the data we have is something that we'll continue to monitor and trend as we go forward. And that's our Halloween pumpkin. thank you for the chance. I feel like we zipped through that, but happy to take some questions as part of the discussion as well. So I will stop sharing.
Thank you, Marion and Dorothy. And I'm going to go through some of the questions on the chat, and then we have time today if there's anything else that comes up. But I just have to say, and I just have one thing. It's so nice to see those reports about those leaders, because, and I think, how do we get them to nurses? Because I really think, you know, everyone talks about transforming healthcare, and I always think unless we get data back to nurses to begin to think about their practice and improvements they can make, we're not going to really transform a lot. So I just love when we get data, even if it's not CHOBIC data. I do have a bias, but even if it's not that data, to get it back. So I'll go through the chat. So Barb Davis to everyone, such massive undertakings, great jobs. And I'm wondering how, I think this relates to both, maybe all of you, how you integrated students into your plan. So maybe we'll start with Debbie first.
So students weren't purpose, we have students who sit on our committee if they're doing, you know, part of their practicum or something with AHS. We didn't specifically though use them to help us develop the plan. I mean, ConnectCare is rolling so fast. So all of the universities or colleges, they're engaged in ConnectCare. Students get educated on ConnectCare as we do our rollout. But for the most part, we did not use any student muscle, if you like, when we were trying to define documentation or anything like that. But a good opportunity, you know, to think about in the future.
And Lorraine?
I would say very similar. So, but I think it's a good question. And I know with Cynia, the question about, you know, embedding those core competencies throughout our educational institutions, right? So our students really come with some knowledge to our organizations.
And I guess Marion or Dorothy, and I know Dorothy, you touched on the student you had, but I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, I can add a couple of things, Peggy. We did use and we do leverage the nursing students that come in for any kind of experience within our office. We also have summer nursing students that we hire that have helped us on these projects and helped us with our audits and things this past summer. Throughout the system, we do have a transition to practice coordinator that is a staff member under my office as well, who's connected with the local university here in Holland College to support new graduate nurses, both RN and LPN, in their first year of practice. So we are working with that person to help build that. But we've been talking about and sharing the CHOBIC data set and changes we're making to our acute care documentation standard with our local curriculum advisory committees for both our practical nursing and baccalaureate nursing programs. And I think that's helpful for them. We share our policies, procedures, and standards with them, but we're a small province and we only have a small number of nursing programs as well. So we do have some benefits from that where we can be really sharing with them and aligned and keeping them informed about changes in practice that are happening in our facilities. But they've been welcoming to us in showing those changes that are coming and trying to embed some of this nursing assessment and how we're linking patient outcomes to nursing interventions and wanting to do that in our system, because they'll be our champions very soon when they're graduated. So we're trying to make those linkages with the programs as well.
Great. Maybe just I'll add, because I see Leanne's question, and what I do find it's exciting is in many cases we are, because there is not that capacity yet of trained nurse informaticists, is that many times we are taking nurses that show an interest in this area, and then we are taking them, you know, from the bedside and then bringing them on board and really training them like through the project and on the ground. But what's really exciting is that they then develop a passion and choose to go back and do their master's in this area and continue to work in this area. So that's exciting. So we do have individuals that are now completing their master's. And I'm looking at Lori Block on the screen here, and she's completing her PhD. And actually we had, was successful in getting a grant and was embedded in our community team actually for quite some time, and was looking at the unintended consequences of electronic health records. And that was really exciting as well. And we were able to, with her assistance, look at some new processes in terms of our community teams and working with our quality department. So that's lots of neat partnerships going on.
Yeah, and you know, I think I'd add to that, because we don't have a lot of nurses who are doing their master's in informatics. It's not like an abundance. And so where you build from the ground up, right? As Lorraine said, it's you bring them into the program. And one of our goals was just to generally raise the informatics competency of all our nurses. And through the implementation of this, we're starting to do that. And then we're seeing the passionate people come out who might do some further education in informatics.
That's great to hear. Yeah. That's really good to hear. So my question, it started for Debbie, and because I saw that you started your discharge process three days before. And so I wanted to know if you're successful of having that process begin 3 days in advance. And then when following up with Marion and Dorothy's session, getting nurses to complete that discharge assessment and prepare that patient for discharge, because I think it's a big gap in nursing practice across Canada from what I hear. So I'm just, because Debbie, you talked about that in your process. So I'm just wondering how successful you are.
So we are quite fortunate in that we have what's called the collaborative care program. It's run under our chief nursing, associate chief nursing officer's office. And that is a multidisciplinary program that has been running a collaborative discharge for a few years now. Mm-hmm. So we've got some documentation that we built in around the 3 day, the 1 day, the at, and then, you know, is it working for everyone? No, it's not. And it's an interesting paradigm shift. I think where collaborative care went in and implemented prior to, you know, Connect Care, and where we can, you know, roll out to them, it's probably accepted much easier and they do the documentation. Physicians are really, they're on the fence with this approach. So as for numbers, I'm not sure about the uptake. Collaborative care was actually born at U of A, and that's where we launched. We don't have very many tickets around, please change this. Whether they're completing it, I'd have to look at that. But I think what's important is in our electronic health record, we actually have what's called an after visit summary, where nurses can contribute and they can say, you know what, the nutrition screen was showing positive, and you know what, we have concerns about nutrition, and they can type in there and they can give advice for the patient. They can insert My Health Record or My Health Alberta patient education materials. So now we have the infrastructure behind the scenes, so we can do some patient teaching and we can identify issues. So I think you're right. Discharge is one that there's a lot to it. It's multi-teamed. And it's hard to say how nurses are actually contributing to improving the outcomes through that process. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, does Rain or Marion or Dorothy want to comment on that?
Yeah, well, it definitely is. I would agree with what you have described, Debbie, and that's what we've seen. So 100% of the time, the majority of our nurses are completing the assessment at admission, and hopefully we're getting them that information directly there to their care plan to say, okay, I've assessed them. Here are my problems. They're there in front of me. What's my plan for this patient? But at discharge, it is that multi-team, how we're using the electronic system to get everyone documenting. We do have multi-provider. Lorraine probably knows. I'm not a nursing informatics specialist, but the multi-user provider, so that multi-users can document on our discharge planning form. But we have looked at a couple of different versions of that so far across our facilities. And it always seems to be a challenge as to who's doing what, when, and then reviewing that at discharge to make sure that all those assessments are done. So, and then that they're compared, that we've made a difference for those patients and we're doing a good job within our service areas to meet the needs, identify the issues the patients have when they come, and meeting their needs while they're here with us. So it's a challenging one that we still have work to do, where we need to do that essential clinical data set for that discharge component. That will help us some, but it's a challenging one.
So I would agree, just that we, you know, discharge is really an area that we haven't spent enough time on really thinking about. And definitely something we need to turn our attention to.
And for years, we never really focused on it at all. So,
yeah. Well, and sorry, go ahead, Peggy.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say the other last thing is about the patient. We have a patient portal. So our after visit summary goes to the patient portal. They see their results immediately. It's a different discharge process now, in that patients are, you know, they're given their little tablet in the inpatient environment. They're taught about the portal, so they can go away and they can look at information. We can send them stuff. So we have to rethink discharge, I think, from the way we used to do it, because they're more literate in health information now. So not sure that some of the way we used to do it, if it's still relevant in the new worlds of electronic health records.
So the next question is from Leanne to everyone. Have you thought about the implications of removing narrative? Example, no ability to use natural language to advance the science of what nurses do. Any of you thought of that? In the back of your mind even?
Sorry, this is Leanne. I'm sorry for just flinging those questions at you, but I think it's important for us to reflect on it. So no need to answer.
If I can take a stab. So we, when you think of the nursing note, if you remember, patient, lovely patient admitted, is 42 years old, you know, and then, you know, has a wife and a family, and you go through and you have this massive paragraph of narrative, and it's lovely, right? Like, it's really important. It describes the situation and the context. We moved a lot of that to data-driven documentation using flow sheets. And we do have patient notes, but I don't believe they're used in the same way as we used to. So I think that narrative that we speak to may be lost, because all of our interventions now are on flow sheets. So if you say, if the falls risk score is positive, you can go to the flow sheet to say, what interventions did you do? And it's tick, 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 right? And so we've lost a lot of that nursing kind of art, if you like, as you used to find it in that whole progress note. But I think we can still find what was done. It's just we don't do it in that way anymore.
Can I just comment, though, that there are people studying natural language processing in nursing. Mm-hmm. And I think that that might be a really great place to advance the science so that we can actually get some sort of a synthesized, stitched together story that includes some of that narrative, plus all of the discrete components that are important to stitch together in the whole story. So anybody interested in wanting to come and do a PhD about that with me, give me a jingle.
I think it's really a skill that nurses and administrators and others need to develop in translating this new data-driven documentation into what the patient's context is. And I think we do have a gap there. So good luck with your studying, Leanne. I hope you find some partners to work with you on it.
Yeah, Leanne, it's interesting because actually just at our senior executive team yesterday, we were having sort of we had a bit of a presentation and then just an open dialogue on automation and AI and bots. And, you know, like the whole COVID has really sort of pushed people's thinking. And also because our HR is such a driver now of conversations, and it's not about, it's more about in any given process, what pieces of that process can you automate to really free up like that scarce resource, whatever that resource is, whether it's clinical or non-clinical, to really focus in where they need to focus and use their skill and expertise, right? But that, like the whole natural language processing came up for sure. And there are some really strong opinions of some of our leaders that that in some of that ticky boxing that people are forgetting to think. Mm-hmm. in their processing of what they're doing. And that's the fear, right? That it's becoming their thinking is. So it was an interesting conversation, but.
Great. So I'm going to keep moving because we have a lot of questions and like I want to end on time. So this is congratulations on your success. Have you, or are you aligning to any of the ICHOM standardized outcome sets? Any of you? Mm-mm. No.
What is that?
ICHOM. People should not use acronyms unless we all know what they are. And I'm not sure either. Anne, are you still on? I don't know. Okay, we'll follow up on that with her.
So I just know of them. They're the Healthcare Improvement Patient Reported Outcomes.
Okay.
So I don't know what the question, yeah.
So maybe we'll leave that one then. So let's just see. So Sally, what's WDL documentation created some issues regarding the documentation report generation for legal proceedings. Have you encountered this yet? What's WDL?
That's within defined limits.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes.
So when you put that question in there, I got a little queasy because we spent hours and hours with health law and our legal teams looking at documenting by exception, looking at documenting within defined limits, within defined exceptions. Like there was a lot of work that went in understanding, is this an appropriate approach? And I think where we landed is, as long as we had that good standardized definition of our defined limit, and then what an exception would be, that actually met a legal need. Now, I have not heard of our documentation not meeting any kind of legal issues that we have coming out. So I think for the most part, we're good with the approach we've taken. And if we do have like a search for discovery or something and find that it's not enough information, then we'll have to relook at it.
It's Sally here. I just wanted to add on to that. I'm sorry I didn't convey the message. What I ran into some difficulties with a number of years ago was we were using within defined limits, had good definitions, so I'm all for it. But what we didn't realize when we were requested through risk management department to generate the patient documentation report within defined limits, how it was structured, we had to create a customized report so you could see what that all meant. Otherwise, the system report that was generated just said within defined limits, which mm-hmm. was of no utility to the hospital lawyers.
Yeah, we had a lot of that X's and we had to look at the reports. And I remember doing a lot of that work. Yeah.
And our clinical working group, that when we did some whole review of that for associations across Canada and colleges as to really some of the issues with that, but we'll keep moving. So this is from Becca. Rebecca, she's curious as to what helped create the 180 degree change. I think this is what you, Dorothy, talking about for that prospective nursing student, from the changing perspective for the nursing student. How did the value come to be assimilated into her understanding? So what caused her to change from not liking CHOBIC to liking it?
Yeah, I'll start and I'll let Dottie add, but I think it was really looking at it from the point of view as this is an extra assessment, especially for the psychiatric patient population in acute care settings. But then when she got into understanding it, she could see how the patient she was caring for could really benefit, and some of the pieces were easily missed in their psychiatric focused assessments for admission, that some of the core, especially the therapeutic self-care components, weren't always captured. And she just found it a comprehensive assessment for her patients, and that it was relevant for psychiatric patients coming into hospital. That's from an acute care focus, but I'll see if Dottie wants to add anything more.
No, it was just the results, you know, like she recognized that some of the patients that were admitted may come in and they may not have had a bath for a significant amount of time. They may not have been eating properly at home, but that might have been captured in what she was assessing, but CHOBIC directed her in that direction. The same with the questions. I mean, some people, unfortunately, that get admitted to acute care psychiatric units may not have been taking their medications as ordered. And of course, they may not have even been taking them at all and wouldn't know what they're on. So all that kind of information she found really, really important, but she just didn't, I don't know, she just didn't seem to put it all together with the education. So to me, that means we probably have to do a little bit more education for staff. And I think having the results and having these audits out in the next week or two and letting people have the opportunity to digest them will actually hopefully help us drive this forward. I must say, I'm really, really excited about the results of the audit because I've been looking at all the units and you know, I think it's going to be really good information for nursing staff, really good.
And here's from Barb, just a comment. What if we changed our reporting from compliance to the value add? And I think that's a really good comment. So Debbie Pinter wants to know if we can share the outcomes report and how you're measuring it. And I think that's probably directed at Marion and Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we can. We would like to make sure it's validated and out, because we've had some delays in getting it out to the units from last spring. So, but once we have the approval and have the auditing done, I think we can definitely share the report. Certainly, if anybody wants to reach out to us, we can connect with, especially if you're using Cerner, like Lorraine is, we can connect with our report writers as to how they have extracted the information from us for the different components with how we've built CHOBIC in.
Yeah, like I think for our perspective, we did not build CHOBIC into one screen, but it's kind of dispersed throughout. But what we could do is, and that's what we've been talking about, is you can pull it into a, you can synthesize data from the chart, pull it into a view that says, this is what matters, let's look at this. And you know.
Yeah. And yeah. We did do that with our pilot sites. It actually was dispersed throughout the admission history and admission documentation. And we could still pull it out into the care plan form to be useful right away. So that's why I say if there's a way we can assist other sites with looking at that, we're happy to connect you with our data folks here and talk to you about sharing some of our information of what we've seen in the before and after.
Great. So Jennifer wants to know, she's curious if you had any challenges with the historical view of the documentation to support decision-making. For example, if I've completed an assessment today and came in tomorrow and wanted to compare, what did that look like from the frontline perspective? Another example would be monitoring symptom management scoring. So it's that seeing that historical perspective to begin to think about outcomes and change in practice.
Yeah, we do have that. And Lorraine's video actually showed it, because we use the same Cerner system. When they are done, and I don't have the appropriate term because I'm not the informaticist, but the columns are there to compare and you can trend those. And Lorraine, you likely have the right terminology for them, but they are captured each time that pain assessment is completed. It will document it. And you can see it in it's the results review tab for us in our system, where they can see and compare each time. And then they can see the trend for that patient as well throughout their hospital stay. So that is available to them. And Lorraine, your video did show that portion of it quite well.
And I think you probably are a bit of an informatist, because you're talking about using data. It's not all about implementation. So don't discredit yourself there.
Well, maybe I'm just not the techie person, but I know how it works at the exactly. Patient side, I guess. Exactly.
So Lynn Watt said, great presentations for all, and I echo that. Wonderful to see the respective progress. And Debbie, she's wondering if you can provide an example of the indicators that are reflecting improved patient outcomes as a result of the new documentation approaches.
So we have all, so if I just think of HOBIC, we have a lot of those indicators built in. And I think for us, upon reflection, we need to do a better job now going forward of saying, from admission throughout the stay to discharge, did we improve the outcomes? So then I'm not sure if I can specifically pull out all the indicators. They're there. We're just not doing that linkage to say, did we improve the outcomes? But very specifically, if we want to think of inpatient environments and some work that we, from a quality safety initiative in our organization, early warning systems was one that we spent a lot of time on, identifying that deteriorating patient, because, you know, patients deteriorate and that's quite a costly, we don't want to see deterioration. So we spent a lot of time looking at indicators around what's their scores. Scores are everywhere. And then we have guidance around when they deteriorate. So that would be one. And then early sepsis was another. We are looking at falls. And so I don't know, Lynn, did I answer that correctly for you?
You're on mute. Okay, we'll just leave it there.
Oh, that's fine, Debbie. I was just wondering if you had anything specific that you were doing.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, we did. We really focused on the early admission screening and then building those care plans. However, we haven't done that back end, as I said, around, okay, we've done all this great documentation. We have our interventions. We have our care plans. Did we actually improve the outcomes? And that's going to be our next step.
So just a comment from Leanne about seeing the value of CHOBIC and looking at closing some of the loops around patient outcomes. Samantha's loving the care plan that brings it in the identified areas of the of need from the CEHOPIC assessment. Barb Davies, well done. Judy Fleming, great presentation. So Leanne, education. Were some people in your organizations doing their master's projects in informatics context? We all know Lori was, but was there anyone else in any of your organizations that were doing that, that were participating with some of these projects? No?
Maybe not specific to this, but definitely looking at other areas as well, and use of technology and virtual health. And there's lots, definitely lots going on in this space.
Okay. So Manel just said, excellent progress. Thanks for sharing. It's a cultural shift, and it really is continuing to increase nurses' capacity in informatics through education. It has to continue. So Marion and Dorothy, thanks Samantha, one way to bring the data to frontline nurse and be useful in their practice. So I'm just looking for questions now rather than comments. Oh, Charlene, that was looking at the unintended outcomes. So just curious from Barb, are we confident that nursing students are learning about care planning that directly links and or is informed by the data they capture? Wait, I can't answer that. I don't know. We have to go to the educators. So does anyone, any of you want to comment or any educators want to comment on that?
You know, I can say that probably nurses and students were not confident that through our assessment, our care plans are meeting the needs. Do you know what I mean? Like they're linked, but they're not truly linked in a automated decision support way. There's a lot of work that can be done, which, allows a nurse in the system to document something and then to guide them directly to interventions and care planning. And there's a lot of work that needs to happen there.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is Manal, and just adding to this. We're learning a little bit through some ongoing research that, you know, the students are kind of experiencing this joint between whatever they are learning about, you know, in terms of their being tech savvy, but they see the thing, they just don't know how does that relate to their nursing practice. Like when they hear standardized nursing language, that kind of term does not ring a bell, but once they're working with it, they can see the value of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once we are able to publish the results, it will be an interesting conversation with educators around how can we build those bridges and engage the students and build on their skills, because they bring a lot of strength in terms of being tech savvy. And our experience with AHS and working with the students on the Connect Care training has created opportunities for the students to see, you know, right on how nurses' work really is transformed with technology. So it's great collaboration, great progress. It's a cultural shift. It will take some time, but we will get there.
Great. Okay. Thank you. And thanks everyone for attending. And thank you so much to presenters for sharing. I mean, this, I think just on the questions and that this was just a great session. You will be receiving an evaluation from either CNIA, if you log down through CNIA, or from me, just to give us some feedback on how we're doing. Our next session is November 4th, and Jillian Strudwick is going to present about leadership competencies, and Lori Block's presenting on the nursing knowledge representation in standardized clinical terminologies. And I'm going to talk about some of the progress we're making on essential clinical data sets. So if you haven't gotten the link, let either Jody or myself know. And we will be posting, I haven't asked the presenters yet, but I'm going to, if we can use their slides. And we're going to have a recording that we'll be posting on CNIA website. And we're also hoping to get it on the CNA website so that if you're not a CNI member, and I can't understand why you aren't, but if you're not, that it will be available to you as well. So thanks everyone for joining. Like I said, just I've learned so much. My head's just thinking about I've got to talk to Lynn Nagel about some things we have to do. Anyhow, have a nice day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.